Shabbos, we begin Sefer Bar Midbar, also known as the fourth book of Moses. As we'll see, it's also known by another name we'll get to in a moment. But there are Chamisha Chumshei Torah, perhaps there are more, but we'll wait for Bahaloska to discuss if there are seven. We'll just go with the consensus view. Not that it's the correct view, but the consensus view that there are five books of Moses. So the Sefer Bereishis, that's known as in the rabbinic teachings, Sefer the book of creation, Sefer HaYetzira, or as the Netziv calls it, Sefer HaYashar, the book of the straight people, meaning the Avos. Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov were Yesharim. And then the Netziv. The second book of Moses is known as Sefer Golas V'Geula, the book of exile and redemption, because we were in Golas Mitzrayim and we got the Torah at Har Sinai. Vayikra is the book of Torah's Kohanim, the laws of the Kohanim and the sacrifices. I'll come back to Bamidbar in a minute. Devarim is known as Mishnah Torah, a summary of the four books, even though there are a lot of new things. And getting back to Bamidbar, it's known as Chumash HaPukodim, Chumash HaPukodim, the book of numbers. Why is it known as the book of numbers? So they explain because we have, how do we begin Bamidbar? With a census. And of all things, people were wondering, in the middle of COVID, yet they sent out a census. That's how important a census is, even during COVID. It seems to be, I guess they figured if you're on lockdown, you have nothing else to do. So maybe you could fill out, maybe that's it. But whatever the case is, very relevant. The census comes in this week, and that's the Parsha, Bamidbar. So that's why it's called... So that's why it's the book of counting, because it starts off with the counting. So there are a couple questions. Number one is, even though this is the first counting mentioned in the Torah, however, the rabbis tell us, Rashi quotes it, we know, there was a counting not that long ago. In real time, 6-7 months ago, meaning from the time they're counting now, I don't mean 6-7 months from today, from the time the Jewish people, right now they're doing a census, and they just had a census about 6-7 months ago, right after the sin of the golden calf, depending on when you assume it happened, and then the bottom line, they had to give Machzis HaShekel. Everyone gave a Machzis HaShekel, and that's how they counted the people. So we see there was a census 6-7 months ago. Why in the world are we having another census now? It wasn't like it's that such a long period. And that's number one. And what do we need? And what's the difference between the census we had for the Machzis HaShekel and the census we have now in the beginning of Bamidbar? So there's a whole discussion on Rashi, the Ramban, because the number came out, the same census, the same number they came out 7 months ago, that's the same number they came out now. So it's a question, how did they get the same amount? Because Rashi is assuming that miraculously no one died. There was no natural death during this time period. You know, they all die, yeah, maybe on Tisha B'Av, whenever the Cheshbon was. So he's assuming there was no that. And then he said, but their people, the census was from 20 and up. So he says, the people who are 19, and now they're turning 20, so therefore it should be a different number, or perhaps those who are above 60. So basically, Rashi writes that it was to teach us how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us. We really didn't need a count for the sake of the numbers. It was to show how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loved us. But the Ramban doesn't go... The Ramban says it's purely coincidental. It's the same number. nothing, it wasn't planned out, because according to Rashi, they didn't count everyone. I think that they do by race horses. They give them the same age. They might not have the same birthday, but everyone's too. So they pick a date and they say this is the date. So according to Rashi, even though people might have had their birthday, their age didn't change for the census part until all on the same day. So whatever the text, the machok is Rashi Ramban. But the question is like this: what's the difference? The Ramban is bothered between the first census we had 7 months ago after the sin of the Cheda Ego, and we gave the Machzis Hasheko, versus the census now. So the Ramban has a beautiful explanation. The Ramban explains there are two types of reasons you do a census. Maybe there are more than two, but two fundamental reasons. One is it's a result oriented. Like, why do they do a census here? It's a result oriented. Let's say someone's counting up the money, so it's not that each dollar bill has so much value. They want to know what's the sum amount. They want to know how much. So there's a census where I want to know how many people. It's indirect. It's not doesn't show any closeness. It's just I need the number. Everyone give a machzis hasheko. I'll count up the machzis hasheko and I'll get to my 600,000 and change. That's one type of counting. There's another type of counting we are much more personal, and this is the one. Imagine you didn't get this. You didn't get to, even if you lived during the Dor HaMidbar, you probably didn't get to speak to Moshe Rabbeinu that much. He was a busy guy. You probably intimidated by him. Maybe you were afraid of him. So it wasn't that often that you got to speak to Moshe and Aaron. So the Ramban writes, you know what the second census was? It was a much more informal one where he actually, Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron met every Yid. Everyone in the census, I guess anyone from 20 to 60, he met, hi, how you doing? What's your name? What are you learning? Where are you up to? What shul do you go to? Whatever questions you ask. Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron met every person. And in fact, that's how Rav Soloveitchik points out, because it was right, they got the Lucha Shnius on Yom Kippur. So Moshe was going to be the Rebbe for Klai Yisrael. If you give me the Rebbe for Klai Yisrael, then, or Rebbe for you want, like every, it's important that every Rebbe know his Talmud. They need to know his Talmidim. And therefore, it was much more personal. Moshe wanted to meet the people. If he's the Posek Hador, Moshe Rabbeinu, he's the Gadol Hador, he wanted to meet the people. So the Ramban writes, there are two types of census. One was much more indirect. It was the Machzis Hasheko. You didn't even meet the people. I had no idea who they were. They gave me an object. I counted it up, and that was it. And then we had the second count, etc. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explains, like the Ramban. Others explain the Ramban, or they elaborate on the Ramban a little differently. They point out, going into more detail, or a different detail, that they're. So what's the purpose of the census is you want to create the sense of community, a sense of nation. You're all together, like you do a census, you know how many Canadians there are, how many Americans. There's a census, you want to create a certain type of bond. But here it says, b'mispar shemo. So there are two ways that you can make unity. There's two ways of unity. There's a unity. I'll use the term from Rav Yitzchak Breidowitz, who's one of. He used to live in. He actually came here once. He used to be a rav in like Washington area. Now he's in Eretz Yisrael. I think he's in Or Sameach. So he says the two ways of unity. He gives. Well, I don't know if he gives the cholent example versus, let's say, a mosaic of flowers, different colors. In other words, the different ways for people to have unity. Now, let's say, let's use the cholent. So cholent, you take the meat, the potatoes, the barley, the beans, and you put it into one, it becomes one cholent. So how do you get unity? By separating all differences. You get rid of the differences, you make everybody the same. That's one type of unity, like a cholent. And there's another type of unity where, let's say you have an orchestra. Everyone plays different type of musical instruments. And the beauty of it is that it all comes out, everyone's not playing the same instrument. Everyone's playing their own, and together with all the different instruments played, it comes out to this beautiful concert. So the second unity is everyone's focused on their own individual. They're all their own strength. While in the first unity, everyone's all together, nullifying yourself to become one. Which one, like, in fact, I was in, anyone to the extreme is no good. So, of course, anytime you come out of an extreme situation, so you have to start, in other words, if you're starting a new country, it's right after the Holocaust, or you're starting something new, you have to be able to focus on your unity. So you have to, don't focus on your differences, focus on your unity, and you have to give up on some of your individuality in the beginning. After an event like the Cheda Ego. So therefore they were counting, so everyone has to give a Machzis HaShekel. However, as time goes on, now there's a second type of unity. There's a unity where everyone does their own thing, but they complement one another. They work together to create this unity. Like they play different music on the band, and then they come out to have a beautiful concert. So there's different types of unity, and obviously they're both good. Either one in the extreme is no good. Like obviously the problem is if you just go with the first one, it takes away everyone's individual strength. Yeah. On the other hand, you could have multiculturalism run amok, that if everyone's doing their own thing. So that's why they have the melting pot. So in America, it was known as the melting pot. Everyone came from all over. And then they all speak English, you know. But the focus was in the beginning that you melted in, and then like it would be unheard of that someone's going to start, you know, that, you know, maybe at home you spoke Yiddish, Spanish, or whatever, but you were out. That was the unity. We're all Americans. I think they did it in Israel in the early 50s and 60s, whatever, everyone spoke. That's one type of unity. That's like the melting pot. And there's the other type of unity that no. And the problem with that is that it cuts out on your individualism. On the other hand, multiculturalism run amok is everyone does their own thing. We see what's going on today in the States, and everyone's not getting along. People are all focused on their own individuality and their own cultures, and the country's not united, is in terrible fighting. So which way does the Torah go? Because we find Vayitzyatzvu b'tachtis ahar, in the beginning of, we know by in Parshas Yisro, it says the Jewish people encamped under the mountain, and it says, and Rashi writes the famous lines, like Ishachad, it was one happy family. At Matan Torah, when they were accepting the Torah, they were all unified. And Rashi's not a reporter just reporting what's on the scene. He's telling me a prerequisite for Matan Torah is you need unity. So what kind of unity does the Torah want? They want the unity of a melting pot, of a cholent, or they want the unity of a nice salad, you have your green pepper, red pepper, your tomatoes, your avocado, your lettuce. You have a whole mosaic of different colors. Everyone's individual. So as we said, So in the beginning, when you start fresh, sometimes you have to give up on your own individuality right after the Cheda Ego, right after special situations. But the ultimate goal then is everyone play their own musical instruments, but they come out with a beautiful concert. And that's what the Ramban's saying here. They had the two sensei, or however you say, they had the senses 6 months ago. That was much more, that was right after the Cheda Ego. They just had to get, they were doing tshuva. They had to give up on their own personal, you know, within reason, your own personal needs and wants. That was the time, that was the melting pot. But now that we're ready to go, now we're about to travel for the next 40 years, and we have to get along. So each one goes according, each one set up according to the mispar avos. It goes by the way they were set up, the degolim, the way the flags were set up in the midbar, in a much more affectionate way. And you'll say, tribal, who needs all these tribal things? Like, why is it important to know I'm Sheva Yehuda, I'm Sheva Levi, I'm Yisachar? Because Chazal tell us, because it's not just 12 tribes, but it's 12 ways of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Each tribe has their own unique gift. Yisachar, the learning, Zvulun, supporting the learning. And Chazal tell us about the great unique qualities of each tribe. And that's, so now that we're beginning, we have 6-7 months after the Cheda Ego, and we worked on our unity. Now we're ready to go with Mitzbar Shemos, with Mitzbar Avos. We have to set up according to our own Dego. Each one has to, of course, you have to fit into the mix, but you also have to focus on your own individuality. That's same in Matan Torah. On one hand, we need the unity of being together, b'ishecha b'levechad, but the ultimate unity is when you take the ishecha b'levechad, you take the mosaic, and you all live together, you complement one another. Obviously, you have some basic groundwork, like this Torah Moshe and this Torah Avram. Torah Moshe, everyone has the basics. Everyone has to daven. You have to learn. You got to keep Shabbos. You got to keep... But then within the details of how much learning, what you learn, how much time you'll daven, how much time you do chesed, how much time... So that's the Torah, that's an individual thing. So we need the unity that we all have to, we have to have the basics of keeping the Judaism, keeping the laws of kosher, Shabbos, davening. But even when we do that, we still have plenty of time for creativity within Torah. Everyone zocha to their own Torah. Or everyone, you know, some people loves this part of tefillah. Someone wants to learn Navi. Someone wants to learn Halacha. And that's what the Ramban is saying. That's the census in this week's parsha. The more personal one, the dego by each family, it's the unity through your uniqueness, by everyone doing different things, but complementing each other, all for the sake of the Jewish nation. That's why we had the census. That's why we needed the second census now, even though the last census was only 7 months ago, but that was this, to get back together after the Cheda Ego. We weren't interested in our personal strength. We were trying to get Klai Yisrael back on track. Now that we got Klai Yisrael back on track, now we all work on our own individual strength, and that's what the second census we have in the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. We'll have to discuss another time. There's another census in Parshas Pinchas later on. And we'll have to get into the introduction of the Netziv on Sefer Bamidbar another time. Yeah, any questions?